Please be seated. Hallelujah. And we'll get me off of the echo and we'll be good to go. All right. Yeah, you can open up to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we're going to be going to verse 49 there. But Shabbat Shalom to you. Each and every one of you. Now, for some of you who do not know what that means, go back a couple weeks and listen to the sermon at 2 weeks ago, and I'll give an explanation at the beginning so you understand what shalom means. Nothing missing, nothing damaged, nothing broken. Everything's good. Because it covers your health, your wellness. It covers you in prosperity. Shalom is more than just peace. It's so much more. So, Dabar Shalom to all of you. See, his loving, you know, loving and powerful words do so much for us. See, there's that the word, and when it comes through from the Holy Ghost, whoo, as dunamis power. But now, this first scripture is going to take maybe a little bit of time, but I didn't think it was. No, it wasn't me. This is the Holy Ghost that told me to take this apart. Okay, you there? Psalm 119, verse 49 to 50. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Now, I looked at this for one word, and God took me from the one word, which was at the end, all the way to the beginning. So it says, remember the word. And this was hard because this is the Greek word, dabar. And here, meaning decree or promise. Decree or promise. That's Psalms 1697, if you want to check me on that. So you would read that then. Remember the decree and promise unto thy servant. Yeah. He's making a promise. When he decrees it, he's making a promise. Amen. Because what's Job 22:28 say? Decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. Yeah. And the favor of God's light will shine upon you and your pathway. All right. And then he goes on to say, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Now, hope is the Greek word yahal, spelled yachal, pronounced yahal, meaning to wait, to hope, to expect. And the definition here of hope in the Bible is, are you ready for this? The confident expectation of what God has promised. And its strength and its fulfillment is in His faith. Wow. Now, in verse 50, we look and it says, For thy word hath quickened me. Well, that word there, this is the Greek word, imra. Imra. Okay, I should have gave you the for Yahal. It is Strong's 3176. Now, Imrah here is Strong's 568. But they interpret it as word. But you know what its meaning here is? Word, the word of God. It means the word of God. But then I said, and it hath quickened. That was the word I was looking for. But God took me the other ones to make sure that I understood. So then watch what it does with the scripture. But it says, and it hath quickened me. Quickened is the Greek word. Chaya. You'll see why I pointed him out. And it is spelled C-H-A-Y-A-W. When you break it out, say it the other way. It's K-H-A-W-Y-A-H. Again, Tim?
Chaya.
You got it. Chaya. Now, Strong's, that is Strong's 2422, meaning to be restored to life or health, to be awakened, refreshed, strengthened, invigorated, reactivated, revitalized. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Resuscitated.
Yes.
To life forever. Now, that was a small brief, but then what jumped out at me was when I wrote that, and then I said, wait a minute. I went in and wanted to know what the whole breakdown was. And it was to have life, to continue in life, remain alive. To sustain life, to live on or upon. To live prosperously.
Yes.
To revive. To quicken from sickness. From discouragement, from faintness, from death. How about to preserve life, let live, to give life, to quicken, revive, refresh, to restore to life. And here it was for Tim. And this is what jumped out. To cause to grow. You know what he did? You know what we did yesterday on the floor? Right there is what we called down.
Yeah.
To cause to grow. To revive.
Yes.
To preserve alive. To be totally restored to health. I'm just telling you, you're just so much in that. And brother, this is yours.
Thank you, sir.
I told you I would print that for you.
Thank you, thank you. Now where that's going. My fridge. And
amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, and we've done all that for this, because I want to read that scripture to you now. Okay. Remember the promise unto me, your servant, upon which you have caused me to have a confident expectation of what you have promised me. This is my comfort in my troubles, for your word has resuscitated me to everlasting life. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Sure changes that scripture, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Makes it more alive. And if the Holy Ghost did that all for just one reason, so that we could stand stronger for what Flora Grace is going through. If you'd have seen that little girl riding that bicycle, flying down there with a pair of bell bottoms on, okay. But there she was. I mean, just flying along. Her and Max playing together. Playing together. Nothing's stopping her.
No, not at all.
Nothing's going to stop us from continually praying.
Amen.
And what are we going to do? Ha-sha! You got it, brother. To grow. Be in health. Long life. Restored health. You got it. Now, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word, now that is logos, that's the written word. For the written word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, discerner is in no other scripture. It's only used here. Do you check me out on that? God's word is living and life-changing and as dynamic as it works in us. So like the cutting of a surgeon's scalpel. God's word reveals who we are and what we are not. This is to help us to grow. It penetrates the very core of our moral and spiritual life. It discerns what is within us, both good and evil. The demands of God's word require decisions. Whether or not to obey it. I recommend that you obey it. And that you do what it says. And what does it say about the mountains in our life? What are we told to do? Having a God kind of faith. Jesus said, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain that you are facing, be removed and be cast into the sea out of my sight forever, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Quit saying what you have and start saying what God says you have. Hallelujah. But see, it does, and he doesn't say anything about speaking about the mountain. He said no, to speak to the mountain.
To, yeah.
Yeah. And how do you speak to it? Through the word.
Yeah.
And Jesus' mother gave us some great advice. You know, in John chapter 2, verse 5. See, whatever he says to do, do it. And then she walked away. And that was Jesus' first miracle. Six pots that were there, full of water. Okay? He took those six pots, 30-gallon pots. And he didn't touch them. He just spoke and said, hey, they're now the best wine in the block. You want to take them in? So how many gallons of wine did he produce? Huh? 6 times 30? Yep. How many is that, Dean? 180 gallons of wine. And they said, wow, this is the best wine ever. Yeah. You bet. It was fresh. First miracle Jesus did at the wedding at Cana. Right? Amen. I know y'all knew that. All right, now, we're going to look to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So we're going to start reading at verse 10. Okay? Okay, Here we go. It says, finally, now it's my brother, and that's my brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
That's speaking to us here this morning. Finally, my brethren, be strong. In dunamo, remember? In dunamis power, the power of God. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power, that's again dunamis, and that's strength of his might. And again, dunamis, strength. So, in the strength of his might, or strength is what we're supposed to be. And that is because of the dunamis power through the Holy Spirit in us. But he says, okay, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of this age, which there is a lot, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all, you hear that? All the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. As believers, we find ourselves daily in battles against rulers and authorities, the powerful evil forces of the fallen angels headed by Satan, who is a vicious fighter. Because we know that in 1 Peter 5:1 tells us, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. You know what devour means? It means to eat up greedily and ravishly, and lapping up till there is nothing remaining. Let me just say, tithing pays off, because he will rebuke the devourer for you. That's what he does. So to withstand the attacks of the evil forces, we must rely upon God's strength and use every piece of his armor. We must put on the whole armor at the very start of every day. Paul here is not only giving counsel to the church, the body of Christ, but to all individuals within the church. Paul tells us to use every piece of God's armor to resist Satan's attacks, and to stand true to God in the midst of those attacks.
Yeah.
See, that's key right there. You got to stand true with God. Sometimes we get in a fight, we forget who's with us. We forget the power and the authority that we have in us. We have dunamis power, and we've been given exousia, that's delegated authority. to trample upon the serpents and the scorpions. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we have the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, footgear of good news, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword, the Spirit, and the Word of God. So first, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to put on the belt of truth. Satan fights with lies. And sometimes his lies, they sound like the truth. But see, only believers have God's truth, which can defeat Satan's lies. And secondly, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Yeah. And remember, Paul's talking about the soldier you saw. But you know what, you think of a breastplate is here. But a Roman soldier, when he put on a breastplate, it went all the way around and covered the back. I see. You ever been stabbed in the back? Okay. That's why you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Satan often attacks our hearts. That's the seat of our emotions, our self-worth, and our trust. God's righteousness is the breastplate that protects our hearts and ensures us of his approval. He approves of us because he loves us so much and sent his son to die for us. And what does love have to do with it?
Everything.
You got it. Third, we put on the footgear of good news. Satan wants us to think that telling others the good news is a worthless and hopeless task. He tries to convince us otherwise all the time. See, he wants us to think that telling others is just way too big of a task for us to undertake. And that we're, the turndowns that you're gonna get and the negative responses. He tries to convince us are going to be too much for us to handle. No, that just generates us to be more motivated to be able to bring the good news. If we didn't bring it across the first time the right way, God will give us an opportunity the second time. When he has his sights set on someone and he has you to go there, you may go the first time and don't get the response you think. But see, you laid a seed. And somebody's going to come in that room, maybe I do a little bit of water and go, hey, there's a lot of born again nurses and aides in the hospital. And they don't press it till you give them the opportunity to join in with you. You know, I'm just telling you, brother. But then you come back and visit that person again. And all of a sudden, they're softened a lot more. And you start talking to them. And you know, before you leave that room, you got them born again. Yeah. You just got another one into the kingdom. That's glory right. Be to God. Hallelujah. See, the footgear is what gives us the motivation to continue to proclaim the true peace that is available in God. The news that everyone needs to hear. And that's our job. Put your shoes on. Fourth, we are to take up the shield of faith. What we see every day are the attacks in the form of insults, setbacks, and temptations. A lot of them come up. But how many of you, it's some insults. Then you got the little setbacks. And then you got the temptations. Well, you got a shield. And that shield is what can protect us from all of Satan's fiery darts. When you put your shield of faith up. Those insults aren't going to affect you. Setbacks are not going to affect you. Because they're going to go and reflect off of the shield. Because your faith is going to tell you to keep moving. That isn't going to stop you. Isn't going to stop you from fulfilling the desire of your heart to have a photography business. Is it? Or having a 5-bedroom house. You see the setbacks come, but you keep moving forward. You keep decreeing what the word is, what God has said. God has said He will give you the desires of your heart. He will perfect that which is what concerns you. It's faith in Him. Do you believe He can deliver on that? And if you can believe in and say, now somebody's going to tell you, oh, now you're just crazy. You must be going to one of them Bible churches that teaches that prosperity thing. Well, I'm telling you what, that the Word of God teaches us is prosperity. We aren't supposed to be poor. Hallelujah. That's why we decree the things we do of our tithe. That we're good stewards over it. We know what we're spending our money on. And we know to set the tithe aside because it's holy. Because when you don't do that, you're robbing from God. And you're robbing from yourself. You're taking your protection level down. I'm not telling you that to get money for the church. I'm telling you for you. It's for you. And it's first fruits, by the way. That was my problem I had. Once I learned about tithing, when I first got saved, I said, okay, I got to make this right. I was really thought I was doing good when I was letting my wife go to church. I was a heathen and said, here's 10 bucks to put in a bucket. That was every once in a while. If she wanted to do it, she had to use her own money. Okay, so God changes people. Okay. So anyhow, I decided I wanted to know what there was something was missing I wasn't clear on. And I asked one question when Pastor Bannon, my pastor, he said to me, I went in and asked him, he says, you got a problem with what was taught on tithing? I said, I only have one question. And he said, what is that? And I said, is it net or gross do you tithe off of? You know what he said to me? Oh, brother, it's easy. First fruits. And he grabbed my arm. We walked back into the church, into the sanctuary. Man, I felt such a peace. I couldn't wait till Wednesday to write a check and put it in there. So I started I said, I'll write a check for $100. I thought, okay, I'll start there and then figure out this tithing thing, what I'm supposed to be doing to get a track. The very next morning, I went to work. Got called to the office and received a $200 a month raise, retroactive back to the beginning of the month. That was God. And that was at a time when they were not giving out raises. Right. And ever since then, tithing has never, it's never been an issue with me. I just knew it was first fruits. First fruits is not just what you make, it's what comes into your house. Okay? Okay, Holy Ghost wanted that for you. I know that. I'm not going to take that later on today. I refuse to. Okay. See, but when we have that shield of faith, we will have God's perspective, and we can see beyond our circumstances, and we know that we will have the ultimate victory. Amen? Now, fifth, we have the helmet of salvation. See, this protects us. Satan wants to make us doubt God, Jesus, and he wants us to doubt our salvation. Have you been there? That's why you got to put that helmet on. The helmet protects our minds from doubting God's saving work in us. If he can get us to doubt that, then he'll just keep hammering with more doubt, more and more doubt. And then guess what? You doubt your salvation even more. And then you become weak. And that's what he's looking for you, to get you weak enough that he can take you out. The thief cometh not but what? To steal, to kill, and to ultimately destroy or devour. Lapping up, nothing left. Sixth, we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema word. Okay? The Rhema word of God here. And that is the spoken word of God. Strong's 4487. The sword is the only weapon of offense in the list of the armor. See, there are times when we're going to need to take up the offensive against Satan. We just can't be sitting back, putting up the shield, and just keep getting beat up. We got to push forward, and what do we have to do? See, because we are tempted, and we need to trust. Trust in the truth that is in God's Word. See, this point I want to bring out is that this weapon is not necessarily the whole Bible. Okay? No, not the whole Bible, but the specific word that needs to be spoken, or, you ready for this, ladies? My decreers? Do I got your attention? Or decreed. Decreed over a specific situation. Just a word. That's all it's going to take. One word. For that specific situation that you're facing. We're not talking the whole Bible. We're just talking a specific scripture that you can stand on. But you got to get up and put on the whole armor of God. And you do that every morning. It don't take you that long. You just sit and call them out. Put your belt on. Amen? Put on that breastplate. That's why you got all the armor. Put it on. Each and every morning. See, though, let me point out, to have that specific word, though, requires us to know the Bible intimately. And how do we do that? It's called Word Up. Yep. Open up the Bible. When it's shut, sitting on your dining room coffee table or on the dining room table or the coffee table in there. And so when people come over, they look and they say, oh, look, he got a couple of Bibles there. He must be really holy. If it ain't open, if you ain't open it up, it ain't doing you no good. In fact, it's getting dust on it. Some of you need to dust it off. Because I know you're not in the Word enough. I know that since I've stepped up mine. Because, man, you got to be in the Word because the attacks come. Yeah. Satan operates 24/7. Yeah. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. As we engage in a battle against the powers of this darkness in the world, we got to put on the whole armor of God and fight in the strength of His power. That's dunamis power that comes from the Holy Spirit within. We are in a season when we need to take up, or better yet, pull the sword from its sheath. Mm-hmm. Pull it out. And then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to use it against the principalities, against the powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this present age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's what we're told to do. Pull out your sword. With the Holy Spirit, that dunamis power, and rhema word of God. You know, all I can say is, look out, devil, because here we come. Right. He doesn't want you handling that sword. He doesn't want you calling on the Spirit, on the Holy Spirit, because he knows there's power in the Holy Spirit that operates in the Holy Spirit. And he knows when you start slinging it, the word, they're going to run. You're going to put the devil on the run. Have you ever seen some of the movies where everybody getting defeated, all of a sudden one gets up? One gets up. And his sword, guess what it was? It was a slingshot. And it took one stone. He had five, but he only took one, the first shot. And that first shot went and knocked Goliath down, did it? I'm talking about David here. When he got there, he said, Lord, you know, he said, ain't there a cause? He's okay, now what do I do? He said, well, chop his head off, man. How are you going to do that? Well, pull his sword. Pull his sword out. See, the enemy knows they have a sharp sword. And when you can take the enemy's sword, you can just slice him up with it. Comes your sword. The more you polish your sword in the word, what damage you can do. See, he don't want you to know that. He don't want you to do that. He don't want you in the word. He'll give you every excuse there is to be in the word of God. My wife and I know, and I mean, she can tell you herself when she is not have enough word, how the day goes for her. You ask her, how's it go, babe? Tell them. Terrible, doesn't it? You know, we were in a car yesterday for over an hour in one direction. And you know what we did the whole time in that car? From the moment we pulled out, we prayed. We prayed. We prayed from... We prayed for everybody. We were praying for our kids. We just prayed. We prayed in the Spirit till we got to our destination. And then we got done there. We had that long ride back. You know what we did? We prayed again. Man, it was just fantastic. It was great. We didn't want to get out of the atmosphere of the car. I mean, he was in our presence. I'm just telling you. That was awesome. That was awesome. But see, that's why you got to look at Ephesians 6:18. See, that's one we don't want to miss. And it says there, praying always. When do we pray, Tim?
Always.
Oh, yeah. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Without prayer, all the armor in the world would be of no use. Spirit-led prayer is prayer with the dunamis power of God Almighty. Here we can see, though, in a scripture that the need, it's pointing for the needs of strong intercession. Strong intercession. And as Amber said, see, Wednesday night prayer together is powerful and is important. See, we make Spirit-led strong intercession on Wednesday nights. Once a month, that's all we're coming here. But with it, we are changing things. We are changing things. We are seeing things happen. We're seeing signs, wonders, miracles all around us because our eyes are being opened up. But also, some of you don't know, but you know, every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, we have prayer. We gather together there, and there's some strong intercession that goes on because it's Holy Ghost led. You see, sometimes prayer gets started, it just doesn't kick in. You got to get the Spirit going, and you got to get it moving. And all of a sudden, you feel like you're in the presence of the Lord here. Why do we not, Janice, have some audible prayer? Surely, we have some audible prayer. Flo, we have prayer. Have we seen things change? Yeah, we have. And we're going to continue to pray. Spirit-led prayer. It happens. It moves. Wednesday night. This Wednesday. Come try it out. Try me out. Hallelujah. No, you know, believe me, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to point out how important prayer is when we get together for intercession. So how many of you do take the time to pray on your own? And just talk to God every day. Is God saying to you, I miss my time with you? Those moments together, I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say, you're too busy. Those are the lyrics from Larnell Harris's song, I Miss My Time With You, who Vicki is working on and going to sing here soon. Amen, sister?
Amen.
Amen. Dean, did you get her to split your... Okay, get that split track. I want to get her working on it. Okay, now in this scripture, it points out to general prayers, but also specific petitions in the Spirit that are to be made for and by believers, other believers. And we're supposed to do it on all occasions. Perseverance and patience in prayer are essential. We know that James 5:16, Amplified. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man and woman, that is believers, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. That's dunamis power there. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Holy Spirit, dunamis power. Jesus told his disciples and is telling us that we have to always pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, or give up. No, you keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on reminding him what he promised in his word. Bring it up to his remembrance. So you don't know what's holding up that prayer. But you keep praying it. And then you start saying, Lord, I don't know why, what's holding up. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what is stopping that prayer from coming. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is to do. Whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Jesus spoke that and is speaking that to us this morning. That is what he said. That's what he calls the prayer of faith. And it's found in Mark 11:24. All of you know that. For without faith on our part, ain't nothing gonna happen. See, we must keep the faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. All right, Tim, you going to help me here? Faith in the morning, faith in the noontime, faith when the sun goes down. Faith in the morning, faith in the noontime, faith when the sun goes down. Faith in the morning, faith in the noontime, faith when the sun goes down. Faith in the noontime, faith when the sun goes down. Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praying every day like I should. Woo! Bam! Yeah. See, we pray with our mouths. See, our mouth is a generator. It is a generation point from which we speak, decree, and pray God's word. Our mouth is a powerful generator. And if not respected and controlled, can kill. But when respected and controlled, it is beneficial to life. Our mouth is a dynamo, which is a generator. It is a dynamo. The word dynamo comes from the same root word for dunamis. Our mouth is powerful. What we speak matters. It is time to activate our faith and generate signs, wonders, and miracles by speaking, decreeing, declaring, proclaiming, and prophesying through the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit within us. Our mouth generates this. Listen to this one. Posterity producing power. Okay? I think, Dean, I think you're going to like this. I really do. Because you can take hold of this one I like. Okay? God loves to hear his word. He loves to hear it being generated from out of our mouths, bringing forth posterity producing power. The power will produce generational continuity and blessing. I'm sorry. Generational continuity and blessing. Isaiah 59, verse 21. As for me, says the Lord. Who is speaking right here? Who is speaking? As for me, says the Lord. It is the Lord. He's talking to Isaiah. This is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth nor from the mouth of your descendants nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord. From this time and forevermore. God wants to affirm his covenant by putting his word in our mouths to be shared from generation to generation. There's a lot of teaching about generational curses. However, we can activate generational blessings as well by teaching our children, our grandchildren, the Word of God. And by training them to hear His voice. Yes, you can train a child to hear the voice of God. A good example of this is a prodigal child who will return to the Lord in their adult lives, because suddenly the words that they were taught by a godly adult, godly parents, came back to them and broken them free from bondage and rebellion. Whether it is for a child of yours, a person in your family, or for someone else you love, It's never too late to activate the covenant of generational favor and blessings by making decrees before heaven. Have you ever thought about doing that? The pouring out of the Holy Spirit is upon all flesh. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
And it's a freshness. Yeah, you can get ready, Ted. The Lord is bringing about a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And He's doing it right now in this season that we are in. See, God orchestrated a baptism of 200 Auburn University students on September 13th. That's just a few days ago. See, we are in that revival. And it's starting to hit the mainstream news media. You know, the news media. See, they cannot deny it. God's outpouring of a freshness of the Holy Spirit because we're welcoming it. We're saying, Lord, bring it out. Pour out fresh. Every day you can ask for a freshness, a refreshing of the Holy Spirit to keep yourself up. My hair and my legs are starting to tingle here. You know, I'm just telling you, when you ask for it, you're going to receive it. What do you say? You have not because you ask not. Ask for it. Ask for it. You know? Well, I'll read you this before he plays this. Because, you know, when this all came together, well, this is Dutch. My man Dutch Sheets. Father, we marvel at your ability to orchestrate events. And he wasn't aware of this at the time. We are amazed at your greatness and power. Our faith that America shall be saved is not in our prayers, abilities, or understanding. It is in you to whom we pray. It is in your mercy, the blood of Jesus, and your eternal word. Our weakness made us stronger as they remind us of where our faith must remain. They remind us that our help comes from you, Creator of heaven and earth. So as we strike with our words of intercession, we believe fully that our prayers are effective. Our decrees establish things in the spirit realm. Our words are a sword piercing darkness and tearing down strongholds. We declare over America today that our government is being invaded by a force from heaven that cannot and will not be stopped. And we decree and declare this in the name of Jesus. Amen, he said.